In fact, today I'm really speaking for myself because the collaboration hasn't really converged on various conceptual issues yet. Okay. I also want to make an advertisement that besides multiplication of gravity, I also do chiral lattice gate theory, which also find fascinating subjects. So anybody interested, are very welcome to talk to me. Okay, so the motivation at this in this time is quite not very well known now. It's mainly regarding to the cosmologic constant form, because once we are in the old cosmologic constant is really why there's no cosmologic constant, even though the particle physics tend to predict a huge cosmologic constant. And right now, after the observation of the acceleration of the cosmic expansion, the problem becomes even more severe because we now know there is a dark energy which happens to have approximately the same energy density to the matter density. And so the idea of modification gravity is simply maybe it's not it's just the deviation of the gravity, the law of gravity at a large scale that might solve the problem. So a most trivial example is just massive gravity. So in Einstein equation, you just add mass term at the linearized level of this. It's only perturbation beyond above the flat background. You put the mass term in the equation, and then you find, given any huge cosmological constant, you always have a solution which is proportional to eta mu nu. And therefore, you have a flat background solution. Of course, this is the most trivial example, and now it's been developed in many directions. So there are lots of fancy modifications these days, like DGP, higher codimensional DGP, cascading DGP, and F of R theory, by gravity, a bit older idea. And so actually recently, and there's it's nicely summarized in the language of weak gravitation of the dark energy. Essentially, whatever you do, unless you either you introduce additional scalar or you basically introduce a filter that somehow filter out the gravitational strengths of the source at the long wavelengths. So PI has played a very important role in this development. But right today I'm just going to focus on massive gravity. So a few words about about massive gravity. So as I said, the simplest way is just to introduce in the Lagrangian a quadratic term in terms of the metric perturbation. Because of the tensorial structure, you have two possible combinations where there's the alpha coefficient that can be tuned. But it turns out that this value of alpha has to be set to be 1 to avoid ghosts in your theory. Now, there are many ways of understanding it. One way to do that is just to look at the mode expansion. For example, if I do mode expansion of my metric perturbation, so this is the spin 2 part, transverse traceless part, and then there is a spin 1 part, and these two are the spin 0 piece. So if just write down the h mu nu square, you find there is a term. This expansion I have done deliberately. Not only it's not only true above the flat diagram, but it is true above any space-time diagram that has a constant curvature, where this h square is basically the curvature. The reason is I'm going to need this for the DC-time diagram. But the point is, it doesn't really matter what your h square is. You always have a term that is, you know, a fourth order derivative in terms of tau. And this term usually is a problem, because normally any theory with this kind of higher derivatives, you typically run into the problem with ghosts. So the only way to make sure these terms doesn't appear is make sure that they do cancel. So in the h squared term, you find exactly the same term here. And that's why you have to set alpha to be 1. So, so in the final theory, this term doesn't exist. The reason I emphasize this is because if you look at expansion, as I said, this is the expansion correct above any space-time diagram that has a constant curvature. So you see it remains true in any space-time of that constant curvature. And therefore, in the DC diagram, you still have to stick to the Pauli-Fiat combination. This particular combination is called Pauli-Fiat or Fiat-Pauli combination. There's nothing much we can do about this. Okay, and so what's the problem with a massive gravity? The problem is there is a so-called VD, the first problem is the VDV, so-called VDVZ discontinuity, which namely, if you just look at the propagator of the massive of your graviton, you find if mass is not zero, you end up with a coefficient here, which is minus 1/3. That's a signature of a massive spin 2 particle, propagator of the massive spin 2 particle. While in the pure Einstein theory, however, when there's no mass, you get just simply minus 1/2. Okay, so the difference between the two doesn't go away, even if you take the mass goes to zero limit. And therefore, you can easily, if that is true, then you can easily exclude massive gravity even within, by the solar system observations. But this is, okay, so now we understand that if the theory has a nonlinear completion, then usually the nonlinear effect will come in and cure this problem. Okay, that is provided that you have a nonlinear completion of the theory. Unfortunately, for a simple massive gravity, we do not know any consistent nonlinear, completion, except if you go to higher dimensional framework. For example, the co-dimensional truth DGP theory turns out at the low energy and the four-dimensional language appears to be pretty similar to massive gravity. But within the 4D framework, there is no known nonlinear completion. And the reason is that once you try to go to nonlinear level, immediately you can have the problem with ghost. And that is, the reason is very simple. That's really the core of this problem of massive gravity. Namely, the degree of freedom doesn't really match. If you want a massive spin 2 particle, so you like to have 5 degrees freedom. But typically, once you go away from Einstein theory, when you put a mass term, you break general covariance. And typically, you end up with 6 degrees freedom. This is a generical situation. Okay, in the polyfiat theory, what happens is you have an accidental constraint that comes from the equation of motion plus Bianchi identity. If you combine these two and you take the trace of the equation of motion, you find you have additional constraint, namely the trace of H do not propagate. It's directly algebraically related to the source. And that kills you the additional, the 6 degrees freedom. Now, and alternatively, you can also look at this mode expansion as I just show you here. So if you just focus on the sigma tau system, ignore all the rest of it, you find, incidentally, at the linearized level, once you have the Pauli-Fiat combination, tau doesn't have a quadratic term. So it just appears as a Lagrangian multiplier in your theory. Therefore, its equation of motion leads to box sigma equals zero. So this sigma is not really a dynamic degree freedom because it never couples any source, okay? And so and that's an accidental situation. Once you go to nonlinear level, it's very clear, well, it's quite obvious that you expect any higher order term of tau will come into the action. And once it does, once it happens, tau ceases to be, become a Lagrangian multiplier anymore. It becomes quadratic and higher. So the equation of motion will simply relate tau to sigma. Okay, we're not constrained, we're not introduced further constraints. So this is no longer true once it's beyond the linearized level. And it is no longer true if the curvature is non-zero. So if you look at this expansion, once that, the curvature is non-zero, you do have quadratic term of tau. And that's the problem. So that's why once you go to space-time with constant curvature, you do come, the 6 degrees freedom does come back in. And that's the tip, that might become problematic. So a few words about, okay, why d theta, why consider d theta? Well, of course, physically, because we live in approximately d theta universe now, and also if the, during the inflation epoch, the space-time is also approximately d theta. So if graviton is really massive, you obviously would have, want to understand what happens, if, for example, during the inflation framework. Another reason that we are interested, that's actually the motivation of this entire work, is that if you look at the DGP theory, which has received quite a lot of excitement some time ago, if you look at the theory has a self-accelerating branch. If you look at the low energy effective field theory on the 4D brain, around the self-accelerating branch, you find it precisely gives you some theory that has some feature, looks like a massive gravity on the de Sitter background. Okay? So that's actually what motivated this study. But another interesting observation is that on the de Sitter background, once you talk about massive gravity, there in fact is no VDVD discontinuity. I told you that that's part of the problem of massive gravity, because once you have this problem, if you want to explain, for example, solar system observations, you really rely on nonlinear effect that comes in to save you. But if there's no nonlinear completion, you're completely screwed. But on the de Sitter background, however, you don't have this problem. Because if you look at the propagator for your metric perturbation, this is just a normal massless contribution in the Einstein theory. And you have additional term that looks like this. And that is a combination of the helicity zero mole of your spin two and the sixth degree freedom of the spin zero. They combine into a single scalar contribution in your propagator. And if you look at this part, and plus this minus a half here, so it's a minus half plus this additional piece, you see if you keep h squared non-zero and take m squared to zero limit first, you get precisely minus one half. And that gives you back the propagator of a massless graviton on the de Sitter diagram. Yes, if you keep mass squared non-zero first, and you take h squared to zero limit, keep this non-zero and take h squared to zero limit first, you get minus one third. That's what the VDVD discontinuity, okay? And so you see basically these two limits don't come in. And the reason is, you know, it's not so surprising because essentially on a constant curvature background, you have additional scale that basically saves you, okay, from having this discontinuity. So that seems to be very nice. This is just polyps on the procedure. It's just polyps, but you're expanding around the procedure. Okay.
But you have this first in this case,
right? Yes, that's what I'm getting to. Yes. So just look at the propagator, it's very nice, because then you imagine if you do have a consistent theory, then you don't need to worry about nonlinear completion. If you just care about weak field behavior, because you're not excluded by experimental observations. However, this story is true in both de Sitter and anti-de Sitter space. Okay, the sign of h squared here doesn't really matter. But in the de Sitter space, which is maybe we are more interested physically, the story is spoiled because there is a ghost if the mass is too small. If it's below this range, you have a ghost. Okay? And the reason, there are many ways of seeing that. For example, just look at the actual piece I told you here. This is the actual piece comes from the 6 degrees freedom. It's a combination of the 6 degrees freedom and helicity zero mode. Just look at this piece. If h squared is positive, you just plot this function. It's a hyperbola. So you have a range where it's negative. Okay? So you have a negative residue there that gets you the signature that there's a ghost. On the other hand, just for fun, for h squared is smaller than zero, this problematic pathology goes away. So so this observation that there's no VDVZ discontinuity is a very good observation, very useful if you care about ADS background. But if you care about de Sitter background, however, the discontinuity in some sense is still there. It just gets blown up to a band rather than a single point before. Okay? So that's the problem. Okay, so this is just saying the same thing, but maybe I should just skip this. Okay. So again, just do mode expansion. If I'm not expanding around de Sitter background, I do mode expansion, just be a little bit more careful. You see, in the end, you find that this is your effective field theory if you integrate out all the non-dynamical degrees freedom, and you find the connected term for sigma. Now, this is the 6 degrees freedom, and you find in front of it, there's a coefficient. So it becomes negative when the mass is too small. And so you run into the problem with ghost. Okay. So now, what happens at this boundary when mass square equals to h squared? On the boundary, you see this term completely disappear from your action. Okay, sigma doesn't even appear. But that's a signature that the theory has an enhanced local symmetry at that point. And indeed, you can convince yourself that the theory is symmetrical under this symmetry transformation. It's a local symmetry. It's a conformal transformation of your metric plus a pure key. Okay, so because of this enhanced symmetry, what happens is that you are now allowed to couple to the trace of key mu nu. This can be seen by, for example, if you write on the equation motion for your on your theory and take the trace of it, you find the trace is given by this expression. Okay. So it's almost the same as the Pauli field on the flat diagonal. However, there is a special point when m squared equals 2h squared, this coefficient becomes zero. Okay, that demands t to be zero, which means if you couple this system to something that has the trace is non-zero, the equation motion will not be self-consistent. Another way of seeing that is just to look at amplitude. The physical residue here blows up. It doesn't even make sense, right? At this particular point, the residue on this side becomes positive infinity, on this side it's negative infinity, it doesn't even make sense. Okay, so the theory is sick if you couple it to the trace of p. Okay, so that's the story about massive gravity on the de Sitter background. So this is just a repeating repetition, okay? So I'm giving you a phase diagram first for the reason that's becoming clear very soon. I put in a two-dimensional phase diagram, but really this is only one dimensional now. It's just a mass square single coefficient, and this vertical line means nothing. But what you know is that when mass square is below this 2h square, you have a ghost. Okay? Above it, that's everything's fine. On the boundary, the situation is a little bit tricky, and it has been analyzed by Dezer and Walden and people that they have shown, proved that on the boundary, the theory is unitary. So there is no problem of ghost on the boundary. But as I explained to you, that you cannot couple the theory to a trace of q mu nu. So it can only couple to some conformal field. Okay. So that's the situation. Now, a few words about DGP. We all know already now, this is the simplest example of DGP, which is just co-dimensional Wurm model. You have a five-dimensional bulk action plus a four-dimensional action where it's also Einstein-Hilbert action, but used you compute it by using the metric induced out of the 4D brain. So let me just ignore the sigma right now. When there's no source at all, you can write down a Friedman equation for your DGP model on the 4D, on the 4D brain. You find the equation looks like that. So normally, if there's no source at all, h squared just has to be, h just has to be zero. But on the DGP, in the DGP theory, there exists another solution, which is h equals minus one over RC. Okay, and this is the so-called self-accelerating branch. The universe is expanding, with driven by nothing. Okay, essentially driven by the self-interacting of the graviton itself. So that has generated lots of excitement around this thing, because now people are happy, because you might seem like you don't need dark energy at all to explain the cosmic expansion that we observe today, if this is really true. But unfortunately, the theory has a problem. Namely, on a self-accelerating branch, there is a ghost. Okay. So this has been discussed by lots of people, but I think Koyama has done the best analysis in this field. What they have done is they just write down the four-dimensional effective feature. If you just write down all the KK modes and analyze the spectrum of the KK mode, and you find on the self-accelerating branch, in the 4D effective field theory language, you find there is a normalizable spin two mode, which has a mass precisely given by the Higuchi bound. Okay. And then you have a continuous tower starting from some mass in this expression, but those continuous towers are fine. There's no problem with that. But the single isolated mode on the boundary is the problem. So some careful analysis show that this branch indeed is unstable. But then there's a very interesting question here, because remember I told you from 4D point of view, if you have a massive gravity on the theta background, if the mass sits right on the boundary, the theory in the normal polyfield theory is unitary, but you cannot couple it to the trace of Dmu. Okay? On the other hand, in DGP theory, it's the other way around. We know that there's no problem with coupling the theory to the trace of Dmu. Okay? At least nobody found any problem, except that branch has a ghost. Okay? And why? What happened there? What happens is that you have additional scalar in the DGP theory. Because it's a five-dimensional theory, what the additional scalar essentially is the brain bending mode, or the G55 mode. This additional scalar comes in the 4D language mixed with your graviton, with a particular mixing given by this expression. Okay? This operator O has a lot of special properties. For example, it satisfies Bianchi identity identically. Okay? So besides the origin of this DGP theory, you can motivate this operator O in many by many nice properties, even within the 4D framework. Now, because of this kinetic mixing, if you just work out the propagator, so this is a bit technicality, I don't want to bother you with that. So let's just look at the propagator for your engineering now. Then you see that's the massive graviton now. You have T1/3. Okay, this piece is perfectly fine. But then you have additional piece here. And this has a double pole here. And this double pole has, you know, made people have a lot of debate over how much you can trust this linearized expansion, because essentially you can understand as an infinitely strong coupled ghost plus a tachyon. So maybe it essentially indicate the breakdown of your linear expansion and so on. But eventually, careful analysis showed really this is indication of a ghost. And even if you go to nonlinear level, you find unstable mode. Okay? So that is the problem there. So now, if I look at the same diagram here for DGP theory, it just sits right on this boundary here, the boundary I show you for the polyfield theory. There, the situation becomes you can couple to T, but there is ghost. Okay? So this is, okay, the same thing, just compare the two side by side. So our question was then, is there anything that we can do with this? Maybe we can improve the story by, you know, sort of combine the nice features of these two, that so we can find a theory, sit on the boundary, that doesn't have ghost, and yet it can still couple to the trace of T. If that is true, then maybe if we can find a nonlinear completion of the theory, will be something not too much different from the DGP, Maybe just adding a bit, you know, kinetic time for the brain bending mode and so on. So maybe that will help. Lead to a model which has a self-accelerating branch, but it's a healthy branch. Okay. So what do we do? Well, we took a minimal step by simply So if I forget about this piece, that's just going to be the effective field theory of DGP on the self-accelerating branch, ignoring the continuous KK mode. Okay, so it's a low energy effective theory, assuming the KK modes do not come into this picture. This is not very rigorous. But let's just look at theory of this form. If without this thing, we know there is a ghost. So what we do is simply just introduce a kinetic term for your file. Okay? So this K is something unknown, but it's basically just a box plus a constant. So it's just additional kinetic term you introduce into for your additional scale. And then you just work out the propagator and everything. And you find that your propagator is simply given by this expression now. Now this one is just the normal massive gravity. And then you have additional term that goes right here. You see, if you set this Q, I forgot to mention what this Q is, okay? The Q is you introduce additional coupling of phi to the trace of T. What this really does is you understand this is just a, What should I say? Yeah, I mean this expression is just illustrative. What I mean by this really is that for the matter, when you have a Lagrangian for your matter, when it's minimally coupled to the metric, there instead of the normal metric, you should we should write down H mu nu plus Q phi times eta mu nu, where eta mu nu is the background metric. Okay. That's what we mean. So this really changing Q is really changing what is the physical metric. That's basically.
Because you could redefine redefine H to absorb phi.
That's right. You can do that.
And then you would just.
Then you would change this.
You would shift on. Yeah. You
change. Yeah. Yeah. You will shift this. I think you probably will also shift the rest.
Probably.
Yeah. Shift. But it's just nice to keep both of them, because in the end, what happens is that you find you can set these two to be zero, so this additional piece disappears. That's the point. Okay. So at this on this boundary, what you have find is just simply introduce a scalar connected term for your scalar. Then in the final metric perturbation of your physical metric, which is given by this expression, then there is a way to tune the parameter so the additional piece goes away. Okay, the problematic piece goes away. Now, of course, in this situation, we don't really know whether the theory still contains a ghost. Okay, it just simply is a ghost. If there is a ghost, it's a ghost that's decoupled from your physical source. So it's still some kind of improvement, because at least at a quadratic level, if it's completely just decoupled from the source, it should just be a separate independent sector, which you can throw out, right? But sure, but the problem is, of course, once you go to a nonlinear level, typically this problem comes back in. But at least at a linear level, this is an improvement, that at least the physical source will not feel any problematic, will not have any problems, okay? But we wanted to do a little bit more. First of all, we want to know whether the theory still contains a ghost or not. And secondly, if there is a ghost, maybe can we improve it further? Or even, can we go to the Higuchi range for mass below this region? Can we decouple the ghost or even eliminate the ghost? Okay? So that's the question we want to ask. And the way we do it is very simple. We just simply ignore the fact that the mass is no longer on the boundary. Follow the same strategy. Introduce addition unknown kinetic term for your phi. And let's look at what kind of propagator you will find. Okay? So here, K is again just kinetic term with the mass term here, where this is a constant. So O is this operator. This kinetic mixing is the key of everything. It's really very important in the story, and we keep it this way. Okay, don't even touch this. So now we just work out the propagator of the theory, and okay, these are technical things, and we can solve for phi in terms of the t, and what you find is it has a single pole here. Q is simply an operator defined this way. It's just for some reason it's very convenient for our calculation. But essentially, it's just a box shifted by something. So you see, generically, phi is propagating degree freedom, and H is related to phi in this complicated way. And then this propagator can be solved in this form, where I have defined additional another operator. It's just derivative operator given by this form. Okay, these are the details, but ignore these details. What I end up with is something like this. Okay, so the propagator, physical propagator, is given by this piece. Now we ask ourselves a question. How can we make sure that the theory has no ghost? As I said, this phi typically has a single pole. Okay? Because that's. So here, in terms of t, it has a pole. But here there's another pole. Okay? So if there is a single pole inside, if you take it out, you will have two poles. Okay? Typically, once you have a situation like that, you always have a ghost. If you, in your propagator, you have something like this, then you always have a ghost, okay? Because if once you separate the two poles, you find always the sign of the two always did, you know, are opposite to each other. So no matter what you do, there's a ghost. So the only way to avoid having any ghost is to make sure that inside this curly bracket, there's no pole at all, okay? So we came up with the strategy that in order for, what happened? In order for the pole to cancel, we have to demand this expression to hold true. Namely, this essentially all the ghosts, all the poles cancel each other inside the curly bracket. Basically, that's what we mean. And this coefficient 1/3, however, can be tuned. It can be any other coefficient you want. But it turns out that only if this coefficient is 1/3, the theory is ghost free. Okay, this is just by trial and error. Turns out this minus this 1/3 is very special.
What does M mu mean?
M mu is disconnected operator that I define. That's just the operator that appears inside the curly bracket. Essentially, you're saying these two, when you add them together, there should be no pole. That's basically what he's trying to say. Okay, and so you find this relation is very very interesting. It has some magical consequence. So if we rewrite that equation, it turns out to be an equation of K, operator K. And I have leave these three brackets here. And the reason I leave them there is because if you look at this equation, you find when M equals 2H squared exact, this equation is automatically satisfied. Okay, so it doesn't have any constraint. That's why in the example I showed you before, in the DGP model, there is no problem. You can simply just tune the parameter to cancel the ghost. There's no additional constraint because this equation is automatically satisfied then. When M is not equal to h squared now, then this equation immediately fixed the form for k, fixed the form of k for e. Okay? So this is the kinetic term you have to introduce in your theory in order to avoid any ghost. And so this is technicality. Now again, so finally, once you use that, you find lots of simplifications, many interesting simplifications. And finally, the perturbation of your physical metric is simply given by this, like a propagator is simply given by this. And you see, this piece is the additional piece coming from the helicity zero mode and the scalar mode. Okay? So obviously, as long as you set 1 plus q to be positive, this physical amplitude will not have negative residues. Okay, so even if there is a ghost, it's not going to couple to the physical source. Okay? So that's the condition we have. You just need q to be above minus 1. But we then we have this, now is where the problem comes in. We really wanted to know whether the theory is completely free of ghosts or not. Okay, and it's in order to do that, you have to diagonalize the theory. It turns out that the theory can be diagonalized. We just somehow didn't know. And so, okay. Before you diagonalize the theory, another thing you can do is you turn off T mu nu and introduce another source that directly coupled to phi, and look at and solve the theory in precisely the same way, and look at all the physical amplitude, see whether there is a residue or not. In that situation, we find as long as q is above this value, there is no ghost. Okay, so that seems like when m squared is smaller than this, this bound is less restricted. So we thought they probably that indicate the theory has no ghost at all, because after all, you have only two additional degree freedom. You have the additional spin zero component, and you have the phi we introduced into the theory. So if you probe two directions that's not parallel to each other, if there is a ghost, if one direction doesn't feel the ghost, the other direction probably should feel the ghost. But the problem is, of course, it is only rigorously true if the two directions are perpendicular to each other, which we cannot really prove. But anyway. No, that's right. I'm coming to you. In fact, only very lately we find the theory can be very easily diagonalized by just having making such a shift. So if I shift the H mu nu, you know, this is the new field H mu nu theta with such a shifting. Okay, it's a combination again of the conformal transformation and the pure gauge. Okay, so once you do that, the action actually gets diagonalized. This is nothing but Einstein theory plus Pauli-Thiers term in terms of H mu nu theta. And there you have additional scalar action. Now the method becomes very messy, and the coupling to T mu nu is also messy. Okay, but in any case, if I'm just looking at the spectrum of the theory, I don't really care. At least in terms of ghost, whether there is a ghost or not, I don't really care about these pieces, complicated pieces. So if I just look at the theory, then I find if this is just a normal Einstein-Hilbert action plus the Pauli-Thiers, then clearly there is still Higuchi ghost in this region, right? And for the phi to be not a ghost, Q has to be above this value. Q plus this value has to be above zero. Okay. So finally, I think that's the phase diagram we have now. So now it's a two-dimensional phase diagram. You have M squared hit this line, and vertical line is Q. So when in this region, mass square is above the Higuchi bound, and Q plus Q is above this value. So both phi and spin zero in the metric, both of them are not ghost. So in this region, it is really ghost free. Okay, when Q is below this value on this side, you have a ghost which is basically phi, because this condition is not satisfied. So you have a ghost on this side, which is phi. When mass is below it, we believe there is a ghost. Well, it's pretty clear because the theory is just diagonalized this way. So when mass is below this region, you again have a ghost, which is just a Higuchi ghost in the usual sense. Okay, finally, in this region, you have two ghosts. Both of them are ghosts. But what's interesting here is there are several things that are interesting here. First of all, on this side, you have one Higuchi ghost, but phi is okay. Okay, on this side. On the right-hand side in this region, phi is a ghost, but the spin zero part in the metric is okay. Okay, so even though in the region there's always a ghost, it seems like there's a trading off between the two. Okay, and so the question really is what happens to the boundary here? Because remember we were interested in looking for a modified theory for the DGP model, which lives on the boundary here. So is there a ghost on the boundary? If I stay from this side of the theory and trying to approach the ring, approach the boundary from this side, and as I told you that Higuchi has analyzed, well, not Higuchi, Desiree and Walden and people have proved that if you go from this side, when you hit the boundary, the theory is unitary. There is no ghost, okay? Because this is just a normal Higuchi ghost. And phi is perfectly fine. So it looks like if you approach the theory from this side, there is no chance for any ghost to appear on the boundary, right? On the other side, however, we don't know. We have to analyze the theory carefully, which we haven't been able to do, okay? Because on this side, phi is a ghost, it can be tricky when it approaches the boundary, what happens. Whether it's unitary or not, we need to prove it more carefully. But in any case, it seems like it's reasonable to believe that the two limits from approaching the boundary from both sides should give you the same limit. Because if I look at physical amplitude, everything is smooth, right? The physical amplitude has nothing to do with mass square equals to h square or not. Everything goes very smooth across the boundary. This is the feature that's very different from the normal massive theory, because there on the boundary you see physical amplitude blows up, and here there's nothing blows up, so the limit seems like it should be able to smoothly connect the two sides. So if this there's no ghost if you go from this side, they probably should not have any ghost if you approach the boundary from the other side. But that we have to analyze more carefully. Probably I have to do a Hamiltonian analysis there and take care of all the constraints, because on the boundary, I suspect similar story happens, namely there is enhanced local symmetry that restore unitarity for you. So that's a more complicated analysis we haven't been able to do so far. But it seems to be hopeful that the theory is unitary there. And therefore, the ultimate question is whether I can find a nonlinear completion for the theory living on this boundary, and whether it corresponding to some modified DGP model. And that will give you a healthy self-accelerating branch channel. That's the ultimate goal we have not achieved yet. So I think I end my talk right here. Thank you very much.
What was it that you couldn't converge on with your collaborator?
It's just this understanding whether there is a. I think it's pretty clear there is a ghost. Uh-huh. Okay, but Gregory is still being convinced at this point. But on the other hand, because even if there is a ghost, the ghost doesn't couple to the physical source. So it's still possible that we can make sense of the theory. In fact, in the entire region here, as long as Q is about minus one. So what does it mean? We're still thinking interpretation.
Linear level. I'm sorry? That's a linear level.
That's right. But at the point, at this moment, we don't even have a nonlinear completion for the theory. So, you know, it's possible to imagine maybe if the theory is indeed unitary here, and you can nonlinearly complete it, then that theory may automatically, you know, cure any problem in the entire region. Because at this point, there's nothing physical metric that doesn't cure the constant. But of course, it's very speculative.
I think this new field, would it also influence the cosmological background, or would you still be able to keep the acceleration as it was?
Yeah, that we don't know. As I said, we don't even know. We haven't even completed the proof that this theory is unitary. So we don't know what kind of nonlinear completion it would be.
What was the Q-ghost to infinity?
Q goes to infinity? Q goes to infinity. I don't quite know how to make sense of it, because that means this physical amplitude blows up. Yeah. So that probably means there's an additional kind of symmetry in that limit. Yeah, that should be. That's like in the Higuchi case. Oops. When you're approaching the boundary, right? Where is it? Yep. That's like when you're approaching this limit from the positive side, right? So you might be something similar.
Okay, let's thank Yongwen again.